Michigan got totally blasted by a slow-coming seismic shift away from low-skill, high-wage manufacturing jobs. Now, in the world of families, work, and gender, America's in the midst of a similarly slow seismic shift. Are we ready? Humans aren't so good at even seeing such slow change a-coming, but awareness, which is arguably the most important word in leadership at home and at work, seems to be on the rise. Last week, I presented on a panel at the 2010 Families and Work Conference with Brad Harrington, who's the director of the Center for Work and Family at Boston College. We were discussing the shifts in men's roles. We were considered experts, yet it was the first time either of us, who speak a lot, had addressed this topic. What does that tell you? The gender shifts are massive. The number of women who earn more than their husbands has gone from 1 in 25 in 1970 to 1 in 4 in 2007. And in the same time, we went from husbands having more degrees than their wives on a 3-to-2 ratio to the opposite, 3 wives with more education for every 2 husbands who outlearned their wives. Of course, educational attainment ties directly to employment status and income, which partly explains why 60% of the job loss in this recession has fallen on men. During one stretch, it was 80%. Ouch. Yay for women who in 3 generations have blown the doors off to achievement in the economic and political realms. How great for them, their supportive men, economically benefiting families and especially for society, that can now tap 100% of its talent instead of 50%. But what about men? And what about our children? This week I'll be at the White House where the first parents will be hosting a forum on workplace flexibility. Every workplace should follow their lead and ask how we optimize flexibility. The old model of mom at home can be phenomenal for kids, but it's just not the norm. Not any more than men shoulder to shoulder on the assembly line is the way we make cars. In a land of liberty where women want to work, and in a land of economic pressure where families need the income, two-parent and women-dominated families are here to stay. I believe one of the most vital things we can do is more man talk. So we rise up to our liberation and we meet the huge needs of our kids. We need individual conversations about paternity leave, supporting high-achieving women, about how to train our boys for a world that demands new levels of communication and collaboration at home, as well as work, and about how to preserve and enhance what used to be male attributes. Brothers, is this your Budweiser talk with your friends or the front seat conversation with your boys? And we need big public conversations about what it now means to be a great man, a gentleman, a strong man. We really need to figure out how our boys are to keep their confidence when these young women are outshining them. It's astounding. But in a generation and a half, we've gone from girls being told not to look smarter than the boys to some boys telling other boys that being an honor student is a girl thing. The last thing we need is a gender war. We need strategies to continue to grow great women, redefine great men, and truly figure out how to have our children get our best when it's hard to figure out who does what anymore and when there's less time to do it. For a beginning of the conversation men need to have, I invite you to tune in to the podcast of this past week's radio show on Making Work Work, where I explored shifting male roles. The guests were all stars and the callers were fantastic. By the way, college kids and their parents should tune in this week for a show on what to do after college, especially in this tough economic environment. Let's talk workplace flexibility and home life creativity to lead with your best self.